Joseph brothers was they was jealous of him. And he asked his brothers asked his father, well, can we take Joseph out to play? Can we take him with us and have a nice time? But his father knew something was up, something wasn't right. They take Joseph and they jealously threw Joseph down a well. In that well, a caravan came through, picked him up. He didn't see his father for years. He was sold to a king, and then he was within the kingship, he was accused of taking into the king's wife, which wasn't so. I love that story because my situation, 30 years of incarceration, I went to prison when I was 14. In fact, I just came home from a juvenile facility. I was there for 9 months for something I did and something I didn't do. So what I didn't do was that it was assault against a police officer. It was still being investigated. I came home November the 9th, 1982. Detective Kincaid was still investigating the case. 2 months later, I'm finding myself over city jail fighting for my life. So I guess that was put on the back burner. Years down the line, I'm sitting in the, after I received my sentence, I'm fighting like hell. My mother ran out of funds. They gave me a natural life sentence. I goes in the penitentiary when I was 16. So I got off the bus confused, scared, and mad as hell. So I was using my frustrations and me being angry to get over the fear of being in there amongst killers, rapists, you name it. Police come to pick me up, take me to the office, and said that we have to put you on PC. But I heard horror stories about PC. Don't think because a person gets put on PC that he's safe. So I said, I don't have any enemies in here. They put me in a cell by myself. And that's when a lot of older men took a liking to me. They read the stories. But yet they see the 16-year-old. I was the youngest one in the penitentiary at that time. Months later, I don't want to get on to them hard stories, things I seen in the pen. It didn't happen to me. It could have happened to me. I could have got raped. I could have been killed. But I stayed to myself. I went on visits. My mother visited me. In fact, I went on lockup for disrespect. And my mom said, "We're not doing it like this. We ain't doing it like this," because my brothers was incarcerated, and she had to deal with that in Hagerstown. Not the pen, Hagerstown, how it used to be. So come off lockup, get myself together. They sent me down to Patuxent Institution. Long story short, because my story is, I can go on for eons about my story, about my life. I can have you in here sleep and wake you back up. Thank you. when I was down in Patuxent, the program, it was like a psychological program. It was set up to get you to look into yourself, your situation. I talked to a few individuals trying to get into the program, and I done something that at that time I regretted because I didn't want to go back into the pen. And He said, you can't get into the program not unless you admit. I said, man, I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. You know, and I thought about what he was saying. He said, you can't go back into that penitentiary because before they even consider you, consider anything, you won't have to give them people's 25 years of your life. I'm like, wow. So I listened to him like a fool. But then within the program, I told him, I said, we're having a conflict of interest. I went back out for a call of board review. You know, they said, deal with that in group. You know, and I went on within the program. I was accomplishing things in the program, education, vocation. I was going here with it, only to appease them to get out early because they look at that in a high respect, in a high regard. But I wasn't really looking at my future because I was so stuck and caught up on the fact that I didn't do this. Commit murder. I did not do what they said I did. Anyway, they put me out of the program. I'm in Hagerstown, go from the old jail, from the new jail to the old jail. First time I've ever been in a fight in my whole incarceration was the new jail. I'm like, wow. You know, cell buddy, big guy. So I worked out. I did that because in the pen they said you have to do these things because you might get into a confrontation because working out what they do is protect yourself and stay in shape. So I did that. I was athletic, played all sports well. Even though I'm a little guy, I played sports well. I boxed a little bit. I got away from my father. He was a boxer. So I go to Hagerstown, and after they put me out of the program, frustrated, bottled up with, you know, everything's going on, confused. End up fighting this big guy in the cell, going lockup, come off lockup. My biological brother coming to jail. We in the cell together. He goes home. You can imagine how I was feeling. I was tore up, but I didn't let him see me like that because I know we experience the same things in life, and we go through the same emotions and pain. He's no longer here. He passed away. I go to the old jail, and long story short, I'm in the annex talking to an older guy that was in the pen back then, and he said, Farley, read the paper. So I read the paper. He said, read it again. I read the article. I read this article about Walter Arvinger. I read it over and over again. And when I looked at it, I said, hold up, this case relates, I can relate to this. This case is like mine. So the story I put far as Joseph is when they put him down there, well, when the caravan came to see him, but the thing came to pick him up, and they sold him to the king, but I turned that around, and that was like Michael Millerman, Renee Hutchins, Rebecca Bowman-Rivas, Walter Lomax, he advocated, Dan Rogers advocated. My mom, she passed away. My grandmother, they ones that believed in me and pulled me out that well. I'm in an old jail, and then I'm writing, I'm going back and forth, and everything. Hold up. Can I take this out?
Feel like I'm part of the band. Man, so you kill him along the way, not me. Anyway, I'm in an old jail. And older guy named Sam, he had me read this paper back and forth and read. I thought I was home with my mom because she's always say, the paper is a seventh grade reading level. Read the paper. So I read the paper and put the pen and stuff to work because I know I was just putting stuff in court frivolously. I would make stuff up. I want to put for parole. They say, well, I ain't never seen nobody like you. You petition the court 10 times? Don't nobody do that? Nobody open petition the court 10 times? How you manage to do that? I would make stuff up. And you be around guys who think they're lawyers. A lot of times, so prison is a hard story in itself. But I came to the point where, as though I was encouraged, I was getting a lot of moral support from convicts, those who terrorized our neighborhoods and people, them. And when you see change in them, and they want to see the best in you. Because they used to always say, you're not the type of juvenile who rip and run. I didn't rip and run. I ain't even play a lot, you know, horse play and all that. I love sports, though. I might crack a joke here and there to get away from the pain. But when I was up there, old jail, and I put them letters in Michael Miller, man, thank God. God did all this. He used us as vessels. But he did all this. I went from that point to writing them. They took the case. My lawyers, they sitting over here. I drove them crazy. They got gray hairs and everything. I drove them crazy. We fought like hell. Case got commuted. In fact, last summer, the institution was shut down. They had a fight. It'd be fights and stuff going on up there, stabbings. Or gangs I never even heard of. The Shoestring Gang, all kind of stuff going on. I ain't never heard of them. You know. So the jail was locked down. They called me to go talk to a counselor. And Ms. Hutchins was like, we did it. And my mom, like, you know, like, what's going on? I knew it was in motion, but then I was just caught up. I was confused, caught up my emotions at the time. What happened? I was excited but not jumping out the roof, because a lot of times being in prison so long, you have to see it to believe it. You really have to see it. It's been days when it's been gloomy and just dark, like that little light going up the steps, a light right there, that little light on the equipment back there. That's that light. You just be grabbing at that light. So I say, well, she told me, your sentence got commuted, man. We did it. So I say, what about the good time? Right? Y'all probably ain't familiar with a good time in prison. You earn a good time, right? So I say, if I got 30 years in prison and almost 11 years good time, I said, I'll see y'all next week then. Next week. No, we ain't doing this. So they wanted me to just transition out. At first, I didn't like it. But then after I got here, I was in Threshold on St. Paul. After I got here, and I'm still getting acclimated to society. I was thankful. I am thankful. I'm grateful. Sometimes frustration still sets in. Y'all are not my enemies. I don't have enemies. I just deal with my situation every day. And I'm not deranged. Don't worry about that. In case you see me on the street, don't. It's nothing like that. So everything worked out for me. Thank God. I have a job. I cut meat when I was incarcerated, and I do that now in the 7 Mile Market on Pikesville. And oh, okay. Anyway, she said that I was trying to get a job. I have a job. I was trying to get my driver's license. I'll go for that Wednesday. By the way, I'm going to be needing a car. I'm talking about, I'll earn my own. I'm just talking about, I need a car to get this license Wednesday. Thank y'all for having me. Thank you.